Oscar winner Cloris Leachman has died. She won an Oscar for her role in The Last Picture Show. She's perhaps best known as the fearsome Frau Blücher in Mel Brooks's Young Frankenstein, or the self-absorbed neighbor Phyllis on TV's The Mary Tyler Moore Show. She was 94. I spoke with Leachman back in 2009. She was talking about her new memoir, which had just come out at the time. We play that interview and remember Cloris Leachman this morning. Bring us to Des Moines, Iowa, and your childhood. Your mother was very interested in having you involved in the arts. Piano was an early outlet for you.
Mm-hmm.
What was your mother's interest in having you so a part of the arts?
I don't know her background, strangely enough. Isn't that amazing? But I think she wanted us to get out of Des Moines and go do something and then come back and start maybe a center for the arts, something like that. So it wasn't all lessons in one place and, you know, dancing one place, piano another, voice another. But, you know, now there are arts centers all over the place, aren't there?
There sure are.
Yeah, they're wonderful.
You saw Katharine Hepburn perform in Des Moines, Iowa.
Yes.
When you were growing up. What was that experience like?
Well, it was wonderful. I was 8 years old and, you know, I'd never seen a play before. It was very exciting. Got to stay home from school a day, go to the Shrine Auditorium. My mother was so darling. She was so fun to be with. And after the, if we'd ever go to the Shrine, afterward, something would always be different. We'd have root beer from a big stand where it was like a great big root beer, and this fluffy root beer, you'd have that. And then we'd start driving home, and one time she said, I wonder if I drove one block this way and then one block that way and then one block this way, one block that way, where if we could get home. And, of course, we'd get all lost, and but it was just so much fun. She always made it fun for us and always sang. And, you know, what would she sing? I'm in love with you, honey. Say you love me too, honey. That one, or that little song she had learned when she was a little girl, probably.
You write very affectionately about your mother in the book.
She's the most unusual, darling woman. People loved her. When she died, the man who was the head of the place where she was buried said, this is the largest funeral we've ever had for a widow, he said. People flew from all over the place. I went from Rome to Des Moines. Oh.
You left Des Moines, and you went to New York and the Actors Studio.
First, I went to Northwestern University.
Yes.
Yes.
With acting on your mind at that point.
Oh, yes.
Yes. And that was always the career goal.
By then, yes.
And you go to the Actors Studio, Ilya Kazan, you're working with.
He was just starting it, and I was in the first group.
And that's Marlon Brando and Eli Wallach and Maureen Stapleton and Julie Harris and quite a group.
Yeah.
So do you learn from them as much as you do from Ilya Kazan?
I learned from them, yes, I did.
Because you write in the book that you had problems with the method.
Well, I didn't take myself very seriously.
Right,
acting. It wasn't the method that I didn't take seriously. It was the acting. I you know, it didn't seem very important or something. But that's where I, especially from Kazan, that's where I realize how extraordinary what acting was. Well, I've said it's like a fraternity, but the best kind.
You are such an amazing actress in transforming yourself. What is it like for you, and is it the enjoyment of being someone else, of being a completely different person and character?
I think I just try to figure out who it would be. Who that person would be who's doing these things, whatever they are, and experiencing whatever she's experiencing, what she'd be like.
But you like that part.
Oh, yes, it's great, great fun. Sometimes really, really difficult, especially when the part early days wasn't well written or filled out. It was just like joining the dots, and, you know, it's you get finished and it's a duck, but, you know, you thought it was an elephant or something.
You love stage work. That comes through in the book. I saw you a number of years ago here in the Capital District in a show about the life of Grandma Moses.
Oh, you did?
Yes. The thing that struck me was how comfortable you seemed on stage.
Oh, I love stage. I just think it's wonderful.
But not all people share that comfort. You seem to be one with it.
Well, I guess so. And I know some people are very scared, too, but I've never been scared.
You got the lead in South Pacific by singing for Rodgers and Hammerstein. I would think that was something that would scare you.
No, it didn't. They were so kind, so dear, so good to me. I'm just such nice men.
And you learn from them, too, don't you?
Oh, my, yes.
Like what?
Well, they were sitting together one time in the audience alone, and somehow I was sitting in the row back of them, right there behind them, and they're talking about making two acts instead of three, I think, out of something, a play. You know, how they were talking about it, and then they did it, and it worked. You know, I would just talk things over, and these wonderful, huge, gigantic, you know, creatures of the theater, oh.
When you made the move and started to move more toward film and television, you never left the stage, but you certainly concentrated in other mediums, but that was okay by
Well,
you.
I brought the stage with me. It was inside of me by that time. That's why Valerie and I would go for lunch. We both came from the stage, and Mary and Jay, our director, were quicker than we were. You know, they just really knew television, film with four camera. And Valerie and I had always want to try different things, or so we'd go to lunch and talk things over, usually every day.
Is that a transformation, though, after having that whole stage to yourself, and then suddenly when you're on television, you have to be aware that there's a camera following you?
That's your friend. It's not like something to be afraid of. It's just something to, especially in those days, the men pushed their own, well, in New York they did. They pushed their own cameras and be like a pas de deux with the cameraman. It would be. I mean, you're just, sometimes you had to run from one corner clear across, I mean, 150 feet or more, changing costume and get in space where you're supposed to be faster than you could run and faster than you could change your costume. You know, three people would be running with you, changing you as you're running.
The Mary Tyler Moore Show and the ensemble, and I guess this is where certainly the theater background would come in, but it was such an ensemble cast.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you really were a troupe.
We were, yeah.
Do you think that's why it worked?
Oh, no, I think it's everything, the writing. First of all, the writing. My God, we had wonderful, wonderful scripts. And if it wasn't right, they'd rewrite, you know.
And as actors, you all had your part. They were such fully formed characters.
Yeah.
So you were really able to give it your all at that point.
Oh, when we finally got that clear about things, takes a while, you know.
When did you start to feel comfortable with Phyllis Lindstrom?
Well, I always felt comfortable, but I think she developed after a period of time.
And they give you a spinoff. What was it like to be in that character but not have the rest of the group around?
Well, I think that was difficult for the writers because you don't know who you are except as you're revealed by the other actors and the stories, you know. And then, so you have to be careful when you take a character out of a well-known series because you don't have all the other actors immediately. So what do you want to show about that character more than maybe you did in the series? It was very tricky for them, especially since my counterpart was Barbara Colby for the first three shows, and then she was murdered. And that was a big loss. They had a hard, hard time.
The show lasted three seasons, I guess?
Two seasons.
And you're proud of that work, though?
Oh, yes. I had a wonderful time.
I want to talk a bit about your film work. Of course, you won the Academy Award for The Last Picture Show. And this is something where you were told while you were making the film, based on the Larry McMurtry novel, that, look, of course, you're probably going to win the Academy Award for this.
Peter said it two or three times to me.
Peter Bogdanovich.
At the end, yeah. I didn't believe him at all. I didn't think I had a big enough part or, you know, just didn't think so. And also, then when the awards were being given out, Ellen had won New York Critics and Margaret Ann had won the Golden Globe, I think. So I certainly didn't think I was going to win.
I was watching a tape of you accepting that award, and you seem so surprised.
I was just amazed.
But obviously pleased. How does an Oscar...
Oh, of course, my God, it's unbelievable, amazing, a miracle.
How does an Oscar change your life?
Well, I didn't work for a year. I don't know. Nothing was apparent to me.
And
nice that they always say it, though, isn't it?
Well, yes. Academy Award winner, Cloris
yeah,
Leachman,
yeah.
Sure. And then you were in my favorite film of all time. It is my favorite film, and that is Young Frankenstein.
Yeah, it's a perfect, wonderful film.
You know, I'm glad you said that, because I've always believed that film is absolutely perfect.
Yeah.
How did you get involved in a Mel Brooks production?
I have the slightest idea. I did do a little scene, a sketch, on the Andy Williams Show years before with Tony Randall that Mel Brooks had written. He was a writer.
Right.
But Tony was upset. I think he thought I'd stolen the scene. And all I did was, I was supposed to be pregnant and I had labor pains. And however I did that, I'm, of course, very familiar. I've had 5 children. But I certainly didn't intend to do that. And he was delighted. I mean, Tony was delighted. But I remember him talking with Mel Brooks about it.
So you become Frau Blücher. And this is a role where this beautiful woman that is Cloris Leachman is transformed into anything but a beautiful woman. How fun, though.
Oh, how wonderful. And Mary from the hair department, she was the head of the hair department. She did my hair in a wonderful, wonderful way. I never would have thought to do it that way. Just up in a knot, in a funny little knot, but very good.
Did you have a sense that the film would work? When you were doing it?
Oh, it was working, sure.
Yeah.
It worked. It was hilarious.
And you and Marty Feldman. There's just some great moments.
Wasn't he funny? Oh,
yes. God. Yes. And then not long after that, then Mel Brooks came back to you and you were, and this, I guess, is when you were doing Mary Tyler Moore, you come back and do High Anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
Was that a fun film, High Anxiety?
Oh, the most fun.
And again, because of the group.
Oh, and the writing and everything is fun, and the character, everything was fun. And, of course, Mel was directing it. There was a 20-minute break while we were lighting one time. Somebody started doing a circus movie, and so everybody fell into his part. And, oh, gosh, who's the tall guy who died? Harvey turned into the ringmaster, of course, and somebody else did something else. Well, I had put this little mustache on my face just about 5 minutes before I was called to the set. And then we started filming, and I never took it off. I forgot about it. And then I had to put it on for every scene after that so it would match. So I decided I wanted to be the trapeze girl. I wanted to be the trapeze artist in our little movie, but that I was the bearded lady and in the circus. I was really mad that they wouldn't hire me to be the trapeze artist because I had the beard. And then Mel came along and caught on very fast. And he started pushing a great, huge broom, you know, those long...
Sure.
And he was cleaning up after the elephants. But we had the funniest little film there going on. They should have filmed it.
You know, I was interested in going back to Young Frankenstein for a second. When that came to Broadway as a musical, you tried out for the part of Frau Blücher. You wanted that part.
I didn't try out for it. I was going to do it. There was no doubt about it. So I was shocked when they got somebody else.
Yes, ultimately they got Andrea Martin for the part. And then with your success in Dancing with the Stars, then Mel called you and said, would you do it?
Mm-hmm.
But then the show, I guess, closed before you got the chance.
Yeah.
But you would have liked to have done it again.
Oh, I think so. I thought they did awfully well with
yes,
it.
Yes, very much so. I agree with you.
Yeah.
In doing Dancing with the Stars, were you at all apprehensive of doing that, or did you take
that? You don't know what's ahead. You just say, oh, I want to be in that. I think it'd be fun. You have no idea what you're getting into. You really don't.
And what were you getting into?
Well, my God, the rehearsal. And then you have to go do it in front of 30 million people and without very much time. And the costume has just been made for you. It's amazing. The shoes are good, and you go on, and all the people are great, and the organization is just tremendously perfect. There's nothing that comes up that isn't solved already. nothing that isn't anticipated, nothing that isn't planned for and allowed for. And it's just amazing, the support and everything.
And you go out and you do such a wonderful job. And
I think I overdid it a bit.
you think you played it up a little too much?
Well, I don't know what I did, but I think I went too far one way or another.
Well, you were putting your leg on the desk.
Well, I don't know. My leg, I didn't plan that at all, and it just went up there. And there it was. I mean, what do you do with your leg? You don't even think it's your leg. You think it's somebody else's leg. You wish it were.
And I know with this book also came a one-woman show where you will go around and tell your stories.
That was simultaneous. I've already done the show quite a few times. In fact, I did it on a ship once for 2,000 people, and they gave me a standing ovation before I finished.
Well, that's nice.
It is. It's wonderful.
That's very nice. So what is still out there that you would like to accomplish?
Well, of course I ask myself that after Dancing with the Stars. And I thought, well, the next thing is obviously American Idol. But then I found out you can only do it till you're 28 years old. And then I thought, well, that's not right. So my son and I, he's my manager, we decided we should hire Gloria Allred to represent me and sue them for discrimination.
Well, and if nobody has seen it, you're in the new PETA ad wearing lettuce leaves, right?
Did you see it?
Yes.
It's beautiful.
You are beautiful. Oh, it is a beautiful ad, but man, beautiful. You look great.
Thank you.
So what is it like to wear lettuce?
It was comfortable. A little dampish and very purplish feeling.
How long does something like that take to do?
Oh, a couple of hours. Well, yeah. I had to be made up and hair and everything, and then she put the dress on me and sewed me into it. Pinned. I don't know what you do with lettuce or cabbage.
So there's still stuff out there that you'd like to accomplish, and you're going to keep busy with the book, and you'll keep on doing the show, the one-woman show?
Oh, yes, and keep telling different stories and that those. I'm having a wonderful life, wonderful experiences, wonderful people I meet all over the place.
Again, speaking to Cloris Leachman on the Roundtable in 2009. Cloris Leachman died yesterday at the age of 94. You're listening to the Roundtable on WAMC.